Eventually, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 3, but you can go ahead and find that, and then you can take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians. I thought as these men were praying about a verse of Scripture that God just brought up to my remembrance, and I want to share it with you. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you as it has been to me down through the years. So if you'll find your place in Proverbs chapter 3 and then find 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I just want to read a couple of verses of Scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. Realize that there's folks in our congregation that are going through a difficult time for different reasons. Everybody has things going on. We all do. And just because I don't have going on in my life what you have going on, it doesn't mean that you're not facing something in your life, and vice versa. We all face things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to preach about that tonight. It's very easy during the storms to get your eyes on the wrong things and even the wrong person. I recall when the disciples were out on the ship and Jesus came walking to them in the storm and they didn't know who he was. They thought he was a spirit. In the storms of life, we have to be really cautious. We ask the Lord to direct our paths in every situation, but in particularly in the storms of life, we have to be really cautious. And I've taken some detours. I didn't see Jesus clearly. And perhaps you have too. And so I just want to urge you and impress on you to be real cautious if you're low or discouraged or facing sorrow in a storm. Because, as I said, the disciples, they mistook Jesus and they got a little off course there. But I'm glad that Jesus went to them, aren't you? You know what I'm talking about in Mark chapter 6? Go home and read it. It's a tremendous passage where Jesus revealed himself to them. And immediately, the Bible says, he spoke unto them and said, "Be of good cheer, for it is I." He made himself known to them in the storm. And that leads me to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, some of my favorite verses of Scripture. In verse number 3 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." I have found that to be true in my life. I've been saved for 40 years. And I've needed God's comfort in my life many times. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you've needed God's comfort in your life too. And I found Him to be faithful. Now I'm glad for the brethren. I'm glad for the brethren. But there's no friend like Jesus. Job said of his friends, "Miserable comforters are you all." But here, Paul said of his friend, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he said, "He is the God of all comfort." Look at verse 4. "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Aren't you glad that God would do that for you? I sure am. I'm glad that God would comfort me in every given situation where I need comfort. And you can claim that promise too. Let God comfort your heart. Get alone with God and tell Him, "God, I'm hurting. And I want you to comfort my heart." I've had to do that often, even in recent days. I'm not a very public person. I'm kind of a private person. And just because I don't publicize things doesn't mean that it's not there. I get along under the wing of the Almighty. And I tell God my trials and my troubles. And can I tell you, I found that He is the God of all comfort. I hope you can testify with me on that. God will be there for you. And I pray for God's comfort in your hurting heart. I do. I'm just so thankful that God comforts us in the time of trouble and tribulation. Now, if you go back with me, I just wanted to say that. A couple of men brought that up in their prayer, and it's been on my heart today. And I've spent some time alone with the Lord and just said, God, I need your comfort in my life. There's times I need God's grace, and can I tell you, I found His grace to be sufficient. There's times I've needed God's mercy, and I found His mercy to be from everlasting to everlasting. There's times I've needed God's goodness, and I found that He's always good. And I could just keep right on going. God's just faithful. God's faithful, and I'm glad that He is. Proverbs chapter number 3, I want to talk to you, and I don't know that how far I'll get into this. It's really just two verses of Scripture. They're very familiar verses of Scripture. I want to talk to you about the paths. The paths that are directed. Directed paths. I want you to notice with me, we'll read down through verse number 8, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let's stand, if you would. Some have been sitting for a while, and maybe give you an opportunity, one last opportunity to stretch your legs before I get this hour and a half message in. All right. Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 8. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now here's our text verses 5 and 6. We'll read on down through verse number 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for your word and how we love thy word. It is truly sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And we thank you for its teaching. We thank you for its comfort. We thank you for its reproof and instruction, for its correction. We just love thy word, and we thank you for it. And I pray that you would use it as I deliver it, as I give it tonight. Use it to speak to our hearts and to help us. God, we need your help, and we have found your word to be a great help to us in the time and the season of trouble and sorrow. So be our helper tonight. And I pray that the word would not fall upon deaf ears, but I pray that we would all be spirit-filled listeners and hear what the Spirit saith unto the church tonight, that Jesus might be honored, because I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about this word that God has been bringing to my heart and my mind over the last, two, 3 weeks. Paths. What path are you on? We all are on a path. Life has paths. If you'll notice here in this verse, it's you can read right past it, but here in verse number 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy," not path, singular as you would think it would be, because the Bible teaches that there is that good path, that right path, and we'll look at a couple of verses of Scripture in just a moment, but paths, because I've found that as God navigates us through life, God takes us to a certain place, and then He uses us there, and then God will take us to a certain place, and along this pathway of life, or these paths, it's amazing how God blesses us and then will continue to guide us if we will yield ourselves unto His direction. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Who is directing your path? Who's directing my path? It's very important. It's very important. You see, there are people that have taken the pathway of their own liking, and they have ended up in bad places. very bad places in their life. Some have even faced death because they took the wrong path. Say, well, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm just trying to let you know this is what happens to people. It's what happens. It's very important that we take the right path. I want you to turn back. You may not even have to turn depending on how chapter number 2 is, Proverbs chapter 2. Notice what verse number 20 says. Proverbs 2 verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Immediately when I read that, I think of Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul, verse 3 says. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want you to hold your place here and go back to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Go from Proverbs 3 to Psalm 17. And I just want to give you a couple of verses about paths, and then we'll go back and begin to dissect some of the things that God's laid on my heart. Paths. What path are you on? Who is directing your path? You see, the Bible says there is a way or a path that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I've just been just really meditating on Judges 21:25, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 14 says, the backslider in heart is full of his own ways. And so if we're not careful, see, we'll start making decisions based on our understanding. Remember that verse? Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's very easy to get to a place in our lives to where we begin to kind of reason things out and think, well, you know what? I think this is what would be best for me. Well, that's not acknowledging the Lord. And when we do not acknowledge the Lord and we begin to direct our own paths, well, that's not a good place to be in. I've been there. And I'm apt to be there again. Don't want to be. And so I'm asking God, God, help me. And these are some of the things that I ran across as I began to think about God helping me to stay on the right path. Look, if you would, Psalm 17. Look at verse number 4. Psalm 17, verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. God, your word, the word of your lips, your word has helped navigate me from the paths of the destroyer. See, the devil wants to get you on the wrong path. The wide gate, the broad way is what Jesus called it. And all of us listen and say, well, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, I hope you wouldn't, but now you're apt to do it. Don't think you're above it. Amen. Especially when you get a little down, you get a little discouraged, get maybe some things going on and your heart is low and you kind of draw back and you'll begin to think, well, I think this is what's best and I think this is what's best, and we're not seeking counsel from the Lord. We're not seeking counsel from God's Word. We're being navigated by feelings. Now, hear me out. By emotion, by feelings, how we feel instead of what God's Word says. It's a very dangerous place to be in. And I just want to warn you now, be careful, because I don't want to see any of us get on the wrong path. Especially Psalm 17, verse 4, the paths of the destroyer. Look at verse number 5 of Psalm 17. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Hey, man, God help me. God help me. Listen, you say, well, preacher, I'm doing good. Well, now that's great. I'm glad to hear that. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't slip around the next corner. See, we need God to help us. Isn't that what he said? Even on the right path, There are snares and there's traps, and we have to be careful. Psalm 25, turn there before we go back and finish up. At least for tonight, we'll finish up in Proverbs 3. Psalm 25, look if you would at verse number 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. So I find in the scripture that God's paths are directed paths, right? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But there are also paths that we need to be taught. You know, you just don't wake up one day and say, well, I know God's path. No, it's something that God teaches us through his word and through experience in life, by the leading of his Holy Spirit. These are things that we learn. It's not just something that you know. And so here the psalmist is praying. Look at it again now in verse number 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And I pray that each one of us would begin to pray, God, I want you to teach me your path. I want to stay on your path. I want to be in the paths of righteousness. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. This is very encouraging. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. God will guide you. God will teach you. God will show you and me, if we just bring ourselves in humility under his authority. And we do not lean upon our own understanding. So now let's go back to Proverbs 3 and let's break that down just a little bit. We'll kind of skim over some things and we'll see how far we can get in the time that we have allotted. Let's begin with verse number 5, where it says, trust in the Lord. Trust. What is it to trust? Well, it's to confide. It's to have a confidence. But it's also to make a commitment. I don't know anyone that really trusts someone that they haven't committed themselves to. So when he's saying trust, it's almost like saying obey. Trust and obedience go together. Trust in the Lord. Obey the Lord. What does he say? Obey the Lord. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Have confidence in the Lord. When you trust someone or you trust something, you have confidence in it. In other words, you and I can put ourselves in God's care and know with full assurance that he has our best interests in mind. There's no greater hands that you can put, that I can put my life into, than God's hands. The question is, have we put our lives, in the hands of God? I pray that you have. I pray that you have. And you've trusted God with your life. And so he says here, look at it, trust. That is a very important word. It's a point of emphasis. Trust in the Lord. Place your confidence. Place your commitment unto the Lord. So I'm not going to do that. Well, now, you might find yourself on the path of the destroyer. Not me. Well, there's been others that said that, and they were on the path of the destroyer. So be careful now. Don't think God won't judge your life. And I'm saying that with sincerity, but I'm saying it with a heart of love. Don't you think God won't judge you? Because God will. God judges sin. Amen. And if there's anything I've learned in these 40 years of being a Christian, in my own life and as I've ministered to others for 35 years, God will not excuse sin in any of our lives. God judges sin. And so he said, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Why wouldn't I? Trust in the Lord. How much, preacher? Look at what Solomon said here, with all thine heart. It's going to take full commitment. Not with half your heart. Not just when you're on the mountaintop. Not just when things are going good. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Right? With all your heart. You say, well, I don't know that I can do that. Then ask God to teach you. That's why I read that in Psalm. God, teach me. thy paths. Teach me to trust you. Teach me to go in your path. Teach me to walk in your way. God, I want to be yours. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. Trust in the Lord, not the preacher. Amen. Not the church. Those can both be good aids in our life. Not your friends, but in the Lord. That's why he said, with all of thine heart. So trust in the Lord. Now this is talking about a devotion. Be devoted to the Lord. Can I ask you a question? And all of you know this. I don't know about you. I know about me. Are you devoted to the Lord? Say, well, I have a Bible. That's not the question. Are you devoted to the Lord? Well, I'm saved. That's not the question. Are you devoted to the Lord? Do you trust the Lord with all of your heart? You say, well, I want God to direct my paths. As far as I can understand in this verse of Scripture, these two verses of Scripture, God's not going to direct our paths until we trust Him with all of our heart. We trust Him with all of our heart, then God will direct all of our paths. That is the proper interpretation of this Scripture. And so he said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. So he's saying, I'm looking for absolute obedience. Now, I thought about a couple of people when I thought about this, and I want to share them with you. And if we don't get beyond this, that's fine. I thought about people who trust the Lord with all their heart, and I thought about how their life turned out. One's an Old Testament character, and one's a New Testament character. Now, there's many in both the Old and New Testament. I've known people in my life. I've been there myself. I hope I'm there now. I trust God with my life. I trust Him with all of my heart. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. He knows if you're trusting Him. He knows if we're trusting Him or if we're just going through some ritual or just going through some just some emotional, you know, mechanical way of doing things or if it's real in our lives. I thought about Abraham. You say, what is it to trust the Lord? I want to give you some biblical illustrations that I think and I hope will help you. Preacher, I want to trust the Lord with all of my heart. And I believe that most, if not all of you do. I don't know what's in your heart, but you're on a Wednesday night. Most of you in church on a regular basis. Many of you by your own testimony, I'm saved. I want to serve God with my life. Why would you not trust Him? So I believe you want to trust the Lord. But what does that mean? Trust the Lord with all of thine heart. Remember when God went to a man by the name of Abram? And he said, I want you to get up, and I'm paraphrasing. And he said, I want you to get your wife, and I want you to get away from your family, and I want you to go, now listen carefully, to a land that I'll show you thereof. You know what Abraham did? He trusted the Lord with all of his heart. He didn't say, now God, where is this place you want me to go? See, that's not trusting the Lord. Right? God, show me what you want, and then I'll review it and make a decision if I want to do it. No, that's not trusting the Lord. That's not trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord is, God, whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you say go, whatever you say do, whatever you want me to say, God, I'll do it because I trust you. I know that if it's what you want, it's going to work out okay. May not understand it. Don't think Abraham understood everything that God went to him about. When God went to him and said, now get her, get your family, and go to this land, this city that I'm going to show you up, which hath foundation, which builder and maker is God, right? And Abraham did it. That's trusting in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, I tell you the way we do it. And I said we. Here's the way we do it sometimes. God, I just want to have you direct my paths. But show me what you want me to do so I can review it and decide how much of it I want to do, and then I'll do what that part I want to do. That's not trusting the Lord with all of your heart. And that's the reason a lot of people, now please hear me, are not getting their paths directed by the Lord. They're not in God's will because God is not going to reveal His will or even accomplish His will in my life if He doesn't know that I'm willing to do His will. Amen. So God help me, God help you. We have to be careful here. I thought of Abraham. Now, I want you to turn to this one. Acts 16. In Acts 16, there was a man by the name of Paul the Apostle. And you know about Paul's missionary journeys. You know particular about this one because this is where the Macedonian call came. We're getting ready to enter into our missions revival. And what a great time of year that is. And as always, I'm looking forward to it, and I believe you are. I've already begun to pray in my heart, God, what would you have my family and I to do in this matter of reaching America with the gospel, planting churches and expanding our coast, enlarging our tent. In Acts 16, the Apostle Paul says that they came to Derbe, Lystra, and they met Timotheus there. And then I want you to go on down in verse number 6 of Acts 16. Very interesting. Now, I'm talking to you about trusting the Lord. And there's a couple of words I want you to think about here. The first word that I wrote down was submission. Abraham just submitted. Are you submitted to do God's will? If you are, that's part of trusting, and God will reveal His will. If you're not, then I'm going to ask you to really get along with the Lord and say, God, what's wrong in my heart that I wouldn't submit to your will? But now here's the second thing, sensitivity. I want you to watch the sensitivity of a man of God. This convicted me deep. It's just important that we walk with God so we can hear His instructions, but not just the initial instructions. Paul got those. But if Paul had not been walking with God, he would not have received the follow-up instructions. Watch what God does here, and watch what a man does who is walking with the Lord and listening for His instructions so he can what? Walk in His paths. Notice what he said. Look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God said, nope, not going there. Now, what if Paul would have went on anyway? What if Paul and his missionary team would have said, well, we're just going to do it. We had it on the schedule, and that's what we're going to do. Well, I tell you, that's dangerous. I've done it. It's just not good. Or say, well, you know what? I'm just going to do this. It was in the plan. We're just going to do it. Got to be in tune with the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. Amen. And I know them. Listen now. And they follow me. You're not going to walk in those directed paths if you can't hear the voice of the shepherd. It's very important to be listening because God is speaking. I've said it 1,000 times, brethren. God is a God of activity. And a lot of His activity is telling us what He would have us to do. And if we're not in tune, we miss it. And then we can get off the path. What path? The righteous path. The right path. Paul and his missionary team were going, and God said, I don't want you to go there. So you know what they did? Look at verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. He said, no again. God said no 2 times in a row. God, you called me to preach. You called us to reach some people over here. You know what I think? Ooh, careful. You know what I think, boys? I think I'd have gone anyway. Be careful about that, what I think. Well, I just feel, ooh. What did God say? Look, if you would, in verse number 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And here it is, verse 9. God said, this is what I want you to do, Paul. There was a vision. It appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. Amen. Paul got right where God wanted him. Why? He was walking in those directed paths, but he was sensitive to what God was saying. As we go back to, and I'm going to bring this to a close for tonight, we'll pick up here another time, but I just want you to really understand the importance now, the importance of trusting the Lord with your life, of listening to his instruction. So, well, how do you listen to God's instruction? Well, first of all, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. Second of all, this book is a book of instruction. Now listen very carefully. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Are you ready? For instruction in righteousness. Those paths that God wants us to walk in, we get our instructions right here. Got to spend time in this book. So, well, preacher, I'm busy. I know that. I wouldn't doubt that. If any person that's sitting on the sound of my voice raised their hand and said, preacher, I'm a busy person, aren't we all? Everyone's busy. And we just, listen, we're being pulled in so many different directions. But now when we get too busy to fellowship with God and spend time in his word, we're just too busy. We're going to have to cut some things out of our schedule. And it can't be God's word. Not if you want those directed paths. Not if you want God to direct your paths. Not if I want God to direct my paths. Amen, church? See, I want to see you walk in those directed paths. You know, those directed paths are, I challenge you to go through the scripture. They're the paths of blessing. That's where God will bless you along the way. It's the path of knowing the peace of God that comes from walking in his will. It's the path of purpose. It's just, there's nothing like it. And so I pray that each one of us, I'll tell you what the scripture says. You say, what happens when a man walks in those paths, preacher? Look at verse number 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Those directed paths yield good stuff. Amen. Yes. So, preacher, I haven't been doing too good lately. I've been kind of dragging and my spirit's low and I just don't feel near to God and I just don't feel like that I'm in tune and in fellowship with God, preacher. What might it be? Well, it might be. I don't know what's in your heart. I said it might be that you're not walking the directed path. I don't know. I know that God spoke to me about this. Just got to be careful. Real careful. We become a people, even in our Bible-believing churches, we become a people that says, well, you know what? I think this would be good. I feel like this would be all right. I want to do this. I can't tell you how many people I've had tell me over the last 2-3 weeks, well, we felt, I thought, this. Never one time, well, we prayed and God said this. Never. We become a prayerless people. And when we begin to become a prayerless people, we will not be a trusting people. And when we're not a trusting people, we'll be on the wrong path. And so I just want to encourage you now. Don't let the devil get you off the right path. Let me finish with this. How does that happen, preacher? Well, many ways. But let me just give you this verse number 6 here, and I hope it'll help you. Notice what he says here in verse number 5. And I have this highlighted in my other Bible, all thine heart. You see that in verse 5? And then look at verse 6, all thy ways. All right, now, two very important phrases here. All thine heart, I believe it speaks of worship. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You have just humbled yourself, and you've brought yourself in a worshipful way before the Lord, and you've yielded yourself, and you say, God, I trust you with all there is about me. Everything that I am, with all my being, I bring myself unto you. All thine heart. Worship. And then he says this, all thy ways. I think that talks about our works. In all thy ways, in everything that you do now, look what he said, acknowledge him. And then he shall direct thy paths. See that latter part of verse 5 where it says lean. Lean not to your own understanding. Understanding comes from, I wrote down two words. It comes from intellect and insight. Look it up. And all of us have that. Some have more than others. But all of us have insight and intellect. Now don't you lean on that. Don't you lean on that. It's okay. Listen, I'm glad for intelligence. I'm glad for insight. Don't you lean on that versus trusting the Lord and acknowledging him. And sometimes we can be guilty of it, can't we? No? Yeah, every one of us can. Every one of us. And it'll get us in trouble. It'll get us in trouble. Can't tell you the times it's got me in trouble when I thought I knew best. I said I wasn't going to go anywhere else, but I've just got to show you this so you'll know. Because I'm saying this to me. I'm saying this to me. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter number 28. Would you turn there just for a moment? Proverbs 28. And this is for me. So don't you know, you say, well, preacher, are you talking to me? Well, I'm not. But now if the Spirit of God speaks to you, then it's for you. Proverbs 28. Look at verse number 26. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's for me. You say, well, I kind of felt a little something there. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit had it for you. But I said it for me. I don't want to trust my own heart. I've done it, and it doesn't work out. Doesn't work out. I don't want to lean, as we go back to Proverbs 3, on my own understanding. So, preacher, you seem like you got a little bit of insight and intelligence. Sure, you can lean on that a little bit. That's not what the Scripture says. It says, lean not. Lean not. In all of thy ways, look at verse number 6, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge means recognize. Get him involved. Take the knowledge that you know and apply it. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, it's just a simple little thought that I kind of built some things around, and I hope that it'll help you. In life, if we're not careful, we'll be going on our path and the whole while saying, well, I'm on God's path. Well, not if you're leaning on your own understanding, you're not. You're on your path. I want to be in God's paths. And I believe you do too. And so we have to acknowledge him. Could I encourage you to pray about everything? You say, preacher, I'm not going to pray about everything. Well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't we pray? The Bible says in everything by prayer and supplication. Isn't that what Philippians 4 says? Yes. It sure does. Be careful for nothing. So I'm anxious, preacher. Well, it might be because you're not praying about everything. He said, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's what Philippians 4 is teaching. So I pray that you would. Let's stand to our feet.